Welcome to the Green Podcast. I'm Florian, and in this podcast, we are going to answer the question, how are Americans facing the ecological transition challenge? From policy change to green demonstration, from green technology to changing American habits, the US is at a turning point in its fight against climate change. But is the transition fast enough? What are the biggest obstacles and the key players who can make the green transition happen? So today we'll hear from people from Missouri, Aminata, a Republican politician, Jade, a lobbyist, and Emily, a member of an environmental association, and some students. We'll start talking with the use of plastic. I'm going to let Emily speak.
So, EPA's estimates show that the amount of plastic waste in the United States solid waste system has grown continuously since the 60s, with the greatest increases occurring between the 80s and the 2000s. Plastic waste generated in the US increased from 0.4% in the 60s to 12.2% in 2018. This consists of containers and packaging and does not include plastic waste from other sources. Plastic pollution has raised concerns about potential harm to humans and nature. Once in the environment, plastic pollution is persistent and may take between 100 to 1,000 years or more to decompose, depending on environmental conditions. It can also be dangerous for human health because we found microplastics in human kidneys or livers.
The plastic industry creates hundreds of thousands of jobs in the U.S., employing over 1.5 million workers and generating approximately $400 billion in annual revenue. It also makes products more affordable for everyone by reducing production and transportation costs. In addition, plastic packaging is practical and helps reduce waste by extending the shelf life of food and other perishable goods. For example, plastic wrapped cucumber can last up to 14 days longer than unpackaged ones, reducing waste in households and supermarkets. Instead of blaming companies that contribute to the country's economy, we should recognize their role in economic growth and technological innovation.
First of all, thank you for having me. As a lobbyist, I believe we need to find a balanced approach to environmental challenges, sustainability. Is important, but the economic growth and job creation are two industries in Missouri, including agriculture, manufacturing, and energy production, provide thousands of jobs and contribute a lot to our state's economy. It's important that any new regulation considers both environmental responsibility and the hard working of Americans.
Now we are going to listen to the opinion of a student from Missouri.
I think it is necessary because it helps to preserve and keep the food fresh and from going, you know, stale or bad or foul, and keeps it so we can keep the food for longer and it can be eaten at a later time.
Aminata, what do you think about the American transportation?
The automotive industry is a powerful pillar of the American economy, supporting over 9.6 million jobs and contributing approximately $1.5 trillion annually to the US GDP. Unlike trains, which rely heavily on public investment, such as the $66 billion allocated to rail infrastructure in the 2021, bipartisan infrastructure law cars offer greater flexibility and independence. The United States spent over 9.8 million square kilometers, making personal vehicles the most practical and affordable means of transportation. In fact, over 19% of American households own at least one car, while only 5% of Americans regularly use train for commuting.
And what is your opinion about it, Margot? And also, why do you only use cars as a way of transportation?
We don't really use trains. We have train stations, but it's not as common simply because it's not as easy to get to. It's a lot easier to just have a car and to drive that privately because you don't have to buy tickets and such. And then finally, why do you only use cars as transportation? I live in a smaller town, so using private transportation like cars is just much simpler and much more affordable for everyone here in Missouri.
So, in general, train travels emits around 66 to 80% less carbon than planes and cars. One of the biggest environmental benefits of trains is that they consume far less energy than other types of transport. It takes a huge amount of fuel to get a plane carrying hundreds of people, whereas trains require much less energy to move and are increasingly able to run on electricity. Noise pollution is not only unpleasant but has an adverse effect on the well-being of humans and animals alike, causing high stress levels, sleep disturbance, or even hypertension.
I think that advocating for transportation policies in Missouri, you might argue that the state's heavy reliance on cars is both a strength and a challenge. On one hand, cars provide flexibility and personal freedom, which are essential in a state with a lot of rural areas. However, the lack of train system limits transportation options, especially for those who cannot drive due to age, disability, or financial constraints, and also limits pollution so that ecology and economy can be considered.
Finally, the last thing we are going to talk about is sorting. Is it that important to sort our trash?
So, waste sorting promotes waste reduction by encouraging individuals, businesses, and communities to adopt more sustainable consumption habits and waste management practices. This reduction in waste generation not only conserves resources but also reduces the environmental footprint associated with waste disposal and management. For example, recycling 1 ton of paper saves 17 trees, 26,000 liters of water, and 4,000 kilowatts of electricity.
Are you all right with that, students?
Do we have recycling bins like in France? Yes, we do, but not a whole lot of people use them as much as it is probably commonly used over in France. I personally recycle a lot. I have a bin at home that I'm frequently using because I care about that kind of thing. I'm always checking to see what's recyclable and what isn't.
Most houses have recycling bins, and that I've been to at least, and there's a lot. There's recycling bins for cans and bottles in large public spaces, but this is even with trash cans that aren't a lot on like the street or in the common places.
Let's be honest, Americans produce over 290 million tons of waste every year, and despite all the effort put into recycling programs, only about 32% of that waste actually get recycled. Meanwhile, the cost of running these programs keep rising, with cities spending billions of dollars on sorting systems that aren't nearly as efficient as they claim to be. Instead of pushing households to sort every piece of trash, we should focus on real solutions like investing in advanced waste management technology and promoting industry that turn waste into energy. That way, we support economic growth instead of burdening taxpayers with costly and ineffective recycling policies.
We need to guarantee that any environmental policies support both sustainability and economic wellness. Finding common ground is really important. If we work together, governance, business, and environmental groups, we can create policies that protect the environment without sacrificing economic growth.
As we've heard throughout this podcast, the ecological transition in the US is a hard challenge. From the impact of plastic waste to debates around transportation and waste sorting, Americans are facing complicated choices between economic priorities and environmental responsibility. However, the voices we've heard from politicians to activists, lobbyists to students show that the conversation is evolving. So thanks for listening to this podcast, and I'll see you next time for another one.